Have you ever had a ghost in your workplace? A lot of folks have. But what happens when that workplace changes hands and then dramatically changes what's going on in that workplace? What if the ghost is not all too happy about it? That story happens in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to find out exactly what happens when a bar turns into a, Lady of the Night building place type thing? Yeah. Well, then check out the EPP bonus episode number 60 for that one. Sign up to get it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP, and your support keeps our show on the air. Please, if you like the show, consider helping us do this thing and support it with an EPP membership through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And as you enter that world of the unknown and the undead...
I don't quite sound like him.
No, where were you going to go with that?
I don't know. I just wanted to try and do that spooky voice. That's all.
It was spooky. It just wasn't his spooky.
It was just different spooky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On today's episode, a local legend serves as inspiration for a classic novel.
No. Just kind of sounds like,
come get a big double quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
A local legend serves as inspiration for a classic novel, but does the legend live on? Murder victim wanders the streets of her death. Ooh, that sounds interesting. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving if you're listening to us in the United States of America. If not, hey, we can FedEx you some leftovers.
Yeah, plenty of them.
We have a lot of them, and it makes lovely, lovely turkey loaves. And I'm not talking like a meatloaf turkey loaf. I'm talking like the ones in like the aspic, where it's kind of a gelatin turkey.
Oh, yeah. Nobody needs that.
It's like some of the ones that you can find in, I don't know if they even have it like in the deli counter, but I remember years ago going to the grocery store and seeing some of the interesting lunch meats that you could buy. And now it's like really nice. It's like, you know, big things that they carve up and they're good quality. But I remember a lot of them were like, I don't know, like they made them back there and there was like olives and stuff and all sorts of randomness infused into shredded meat in different loafs, essentially.
That's gross.
There was a turkey one, too. Not quite sure what was in it. My favorite is the Jell-O molds with the vegetables in it. That, to me, is like, why did you do that?
I've never had to have one of those.
It's not fun because you're taking some... It's like a raisin cookie.
Uh-huh.
It looks really like, oh, this looks like it could be okay. And wait a second, you know, why? Why did you do this? Why did you ruin a perfectly good cookie?
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather just have nothing in the cookie.
Raisins are only there to dupe you into thinking it's a chocolate chip cookie.
Exactly.
And then they fuck you over every time.
I like to tweet that. If anyone else wants to tweet that, hashtag Jenny Brewski. Raisins are only there to dupe you into thinking it's a chocolate chip cookie, and they fuck you over every time. There you go. Let's see if we can make that one trend. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Kicking off the show today with a letter from Dan, and Dan writes in, Mama's Return Hello. Is that like the title? Mama's Return Hello. Okay. My name's Dan, and I'm a high school senior from Williamsburg, Virginia. Listen to Real Ghost Stories Online every day in between classes, during lunch, and whenever I have free time. And I really appreciate what you do for the paranormal community. The story I'm about to tell you is very personal to me because it involves a loved one that's no longer here, and I've never shared it with anyone until now. And because of my love for the paranormal, I feel like it would be a great story to include on the show. My mamaw, my mom's mom, passed away 9 years ago from a disease that I don't remember the name of or know anything about, but I do know that it caused her horrible amounts of pain and suffering. Her passing completely devastated me and my family. Mamaw was the most unselfish and loving person I'd ever known, and she taught me tons of things about life, faith, and other things. I remember as a younger kid her telling me that one day she'd be going to live with God in heaven and that no matter what, she'd always be here. And I'd have to do is ask to talk to her. When she passed away, it left a hole in the inner depths of my soul and my mom as well. And life still isn't the same. Losing her hurt so bad that I wasn't sure what to do. Over the years, I felt Mama's spirit several times in different ways, but they were mostly subtle and inconspicuous. But I haven't communicated with her much in terms of talking. But that recently changed. During a recent visit to Papa's house, I went into the room she died in by myself, shut the door, and sat down on the couch that sits in the very place where her deathbed was. For a long time after her death, I hated going into that room because of the bad memories it brought back of seeing her lying there pale and completely lifeless. The room had a heavy feeling inside of it. For some time, but it eventually dissolved. My papa noticed it too. I sat there for quite some time, thinking about her and wishing I could talk to her. For whatever reason, I randomly said aloud, "Hi, Mama. I miss you. I want to talk to you." I then began feeling a soothing and warming presence around me, and I knew immediately that she was there with me. I knew this because she always had a soothing and warm nature about her, and her energy would fill a room whenever she walked in. It honestly felt like she was sitting on the couch with me and her arms around me. Then, clear as day, I heard her voice say, "Hi, Dan. Everything's going to be okay because I'm here." I was overwhelmed with emotion at hearing her voice again after 9 years. After a minute or so, I gathered myself and began talking to her out loud. She told me that she was proud of me and that she loved me and things like that. Not sure how long our conversation lasted, but after a while of talking, she told me that she'd always be there to talk and give me a hug if I needed it. Then the soothing and warm presence left, and I left the room and walked out into the hallway. Just as I was closing the door behind me, out of the corner of my eye, I could have sworn I saw her standing at the end of the hallway, looking at me with a warm and loving smile. I walked out into the living room where Papa was sitting, and I was stunned when he calmly said, "You were talking with Mama, weren't you?" To this day, I still miss her dearly and wish she was here to see all the things I've been doing with my life, but at the same time, I know she's always with me, no matter what. I still hear her voice from time to time and feel her presence. Whenever I'm in Papa's house, and I know for a fact that Mama is still there, I hope that this story will show other people that paranormal is not always scary. There are spirits that are here to guide us through life and that want to help us when we need it. If you feel a spiritual presence, communicate with it and get to know it because it may just be there to help you. Definitely continue to be a loyal Real Ghost Story online listener, Annie PP. Wish you the best of luck at future shows, and due to the amount of experiences I've had, I'll be sure to write and call in on a frequent basis.
I can't help but wonder if the grandfather had done that same thing, and that's how he knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would try it.
Sure, I'd imagine he probably has. I bet that there's a connections there. It's just one of those things where you can't necessarily just walk to your family, "Hey, by the way, I'm still talking to your mom."
Yeah, exactly.
Because, yeah, you get looked at, like, unless everybody's like really open to this idea, it'd be looked at, you know, maybe we should get Dad some help. You know, he's clearly not grieving well, and he's thinking he's seeing things, mm-hmm. You know, even if he is. So, yeah. I will say this about a comment that he made at the end, and in this case, yes, everything worked out peachy. But the idea, though, of if you're being visited by something paranormal and you don't know what it is, of just reaching out and trying to conversate, not always the best of ideas. And we have plenty of stories to back that up.
Well, sure, but there's such a difference there.
I mean,
he knew that familiar feeling.
So. I don't blame him in this case at all. I mean, I think he knew what he was getting into and where it was going. And so nothing wrong with what he did. It's just, you can't quite say that about every paranormal thing that people experience.
No, a lot of our listeners write in and say, you know, they knew something was off or something was there, but they don't recognize it or know what it is.
Sure. And they've even had it where there's been what essentially is a grandmother or whatever, some loving figure that was there in their life, and they see it and they're like, well, doesn't quite feel right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain feeling you get with living people.
Yeah.
When they're in the same room with you, you just, oh, that's their presence. You just know their presence. Mm-hmm. So when they're dead, and if they're there, I imagine you can still feel their presence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're visually seeing that person and they're dead, but their presence doesn't quite feel right, might not be that person. That's the thing. But in this case, obviously, it was. So you're right. It was a good example of a story of not all paranormal things are bad.
Right.
So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I know what I'm going to do. We were talking the other day about beards and the idea of, like, putting ornaments and decorating them.
I had purposely forgotten about that.
Well, shortly after we had talked about that, did I have a picture or something, or was that just something that came into my mind?
No, you had a picture.
Okay. Well, here's another one that I saw that became popular, or is becoming popular this year, apparently. Now, I've not seen this in person, but glittering men's beards. And they're literally just, like, sparkly. Looks like something out of Frozen.
Why?
For the holidays.
Why?
Because it makes you feel more at home.
Oh, there's so much glitter around here anyway. The last thing we need to do is purposely put glitter on you.
There's nothing like when Dad used to glitter his beard for Christmas. That would be a wonderful Yuletide memory for the girls.
Yeah.
He was kind of strange.
Yeah.
All right. Carnell writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Carnell again. I wrote into the show a few weeks ago about my brother seeing a man sitting in on our dresser at night, but my story yet. So I'm guessing for some reason or another, it just didn't make the list. Didn't we talk?
We did. We read it.
All right. You got to go back. I'm guessing you probably wrote this before hearing it, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's out there. Anyhow, remember a few happenings that did not occur to me, but friends and family who would have nothing to gain by lying to me. In high school, my older brother once told me about a time he used the shower room after weight training. He didn't actually use the shower. None of us really did, but we decided that we'd freshen up using the sink near the entrance of the showers. He told me that he was sure when he went in, no one else was there. But he caught a figure in his peripheral vision, turned his head to find that he was not alone in the shower room. According to my brother's story, there was a man or a student standing in the far corner of the room facing the wall. My brother was a little creeped out considering his belief that the room was empty when he got there. And past the showers, there was only a dead-end wall, so it would be impossible for anyone to enter by any other means than the entrance on my brother's other side. My brother shrugs it off and continues to go about his business for X amount of time, and he looks over towards the guy's direction again, only to find that he had disappeared. Mind you, there's a mirror above the sink in the room, so anyone who enters or leaves the shower room would be clearly visible in the reflection. I imagine they'd be heard as well. They'd have to walk right by you. My brother quickly left the shower room after that. The next story is something that happened to a friend of mine. My friend told me that this happened before he met me, so it would have been sometime in the late 90s. So middle school or earlier for the two of us. There isn't a whole lot to the story because they didn't tell me everything that happened in full detail. They only told me the reason they moved out. To my understanding, they'd been experiencing a small sign of paranormal activity, almost passable as the common old creaky house business. You know how it goes. But on one particular day, my friend's mom was reading her Bible. She put it down on a table or counter, still open so that she could later resume her reading. She stepped away for a short while, and when she came back, the Bible had been closed. Now, either out of curiosity or another reason, she opens the Bible again to the page left on, and she started to walk away again. Suddenly, the back door of the house flew open, and a strong gust of wind came in and blew the Bible closed, lifted the book off the table, and slammed it against the wall, after which it fell to the floor. My friend told me this story first, and later, when I asked his mom, she confirmed it. Neither one of them claimed that there was a ghost or any other entity in the house, but they don't think it was a coincidence, and neither do I. Lastly, I have a short story I heard from another friend I met in school. At that time, my girlfriend, now my ex, and I had driven over to this friend's apartment, and we ended up talking about our unexplained experiences. He claims that he lived in an apartment complex that was haunted by the ghost of a young boy and possibly more entities. My friend owned a parrot of similar, or a parrot of a similar bird, and when he went to bed at night, he would put the cover over the bird cage at night. He woke several times to the bird making a typical loud bird noise, and had come out to his room to find the bird cage cover open and on the floor. Of course, he figured the bird had been removing the cover itself, until one night he got up and saw that the cover had been thrown clear across the room. Impossible for the bird to have done. But the main event that he says happened at his complex is this. Every once in a while, if you look out of a window facing a small grass field, you might see a little boy standing out there. Only the boy is somewhat between waist and belly deep in the grass. There are no holes for anyone to stand in out there. Evidently, there had been a swimming pool at the complex, and sadly, there was a young boy who drowned in it. Thanks for reading these secondhand stories. I believe them all, having had experiences of my own before. Thank you, Tony and Jenny, for all that you do. Love the show. All of my friends and family know me to constantly have my earphones in and playing my music. For a few weeks now, I've been trying to catch up, listening like crazy to all the stories. Listen in the morning, on my bus rides, at work, and when I come home until I fall asleep. As of the date I'm typing these stories, I'll become an EPP the very next day when I get my pay. You guys are awesome. Take care. P.S. Tony, you're a freaking riot. Oops, I gotta turn your mic on.
Are you gonna let me talk?
Go ahead. Well, you were coughing, so I wanted to let you cough.
I know. No, I'd have no reason to not believe those stories either. I mean, they're all pretty... I don't want to say average. They're all pretty on level, I guess.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing too far-fetched there to be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like very common, if you will, paranormal experiences, mm-hmm. you know, customized for their own specific situations.
Yeah.
But things that do tend to happen quite often. So, yeah, very, very much so. More real ghost stories. Thank you for sharing that. Really do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you're going, what is this EPP thing you speak of, dear sir? And if you're saying it exactly like that.
Okay.
Sometimes people talk in old English terms in their mind, but when it comes out, it sounds very modern.
I was thinking that sounded more like Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman?
Mm-hmm.
What's Nick Offerman? Nick Offerman is...
Hey, Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson, yes.
Yeah.
Dear sir, yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you're wondering about what an EPP is, dear sir or ma'am, you can sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It means extra podcast person. All of our EPPs get a bonus episode of the show every week with some of our best stories on it, and access to all of our previous EPP episodes. All exclusive material, only heard on the EPP episodes. It's only $5 a month, and that's what we use to fund this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online and keep it on the air. And as our audience grows, as it continues to, so do the costs of doing it. So we do appreciate if you can become an EPP, give you the extras as a thank you. And we can keep doing this thing. Jade writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Sent you a couple of stories but there's just so many of your listener stories that I relate to or have had similar experiences to. Tonight I was listening to your podcast discussing dog-like spirits. Here in England, particularly Yorkshire, we have an old legend of a giant spectral hound. It's called Guy Trash. Is that right? Just Guy Trash?
That's what it says.
Okay. And there's lots of stories in folklore about this giant black dog stalking the moorland and other areas. Legend stretches all across England, but the name of the dog spirit changes depending on where you are in the country. In fact, this legend inspired the Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Some folks say that if you see it, then it's a bad omen and symbolizes death. Others say it's the devil in canine form. Anyway, this isn't my story. It's actually my grandparents' story. My grandparents lived at the bottom of a giant hill in an area called Sherwell in West Yorkshire. They were walking home one night in winter, and they had to cross quite an isolated stretch of road to get to their house. Out of nowhere, a giant black dog appeared in front of them. My granddad said that it was huge, more the size of a small pony rather than a dog. He remembers it so vividly because he said that it was such a cold night and it was snowing heavily. My grandparents watched it for a moment, didn't even move, but just stared at them. Suddenly it leapt over a nearby wall. The weird thing was that the wall was really, really high. There's no way an ordinary dog could make the jump. My grandparents looked at each other, sort of puzzled, and wondered what the hell was going on. It was then that they realized that the giant dog hadn't left any paw prints in the snow. My granddad told me this story years ago, and it's always stayed with me because it freaked me out. One day a couple of years ago, I was in a local bookshop and saw a book of local true ghost stories. I thought it looked pretty cool, so I bought it. When I got home and read it, there was a story in it about a woman who also lived in Cherwell, very close to where my grandparents used to live. The woman said that over 60 years ago, when she was a child and there were outside toilets, she went outside to use the loo in the middle of the night. It was sort of like a little shed at the end of the street. While she was on the toilet, she saw a shadow moving outside the door. She thought it was her brother trying to frighten her, but then she heard a deep sound like something huge snorting. When she went inside to walk home, she suddenly became aware of a massive animal. It was a giant black dog. She was scared to death and ran as fast as her legs could carry her home. She didn't look back. I have no idea what this giant dog spirit is, but I think it's very strange that it's been spotted over the decades in the same area. I also wanted to ask about Bogarts. Is that right?
Yep.
It's a Yorkshire term, and it can be applied to various manifestations, but it usually refers to a malevolent spirit that isn't grounded in one place. In folklore and witness sightings, they're human-like shapes. They move normally as a person would, but then apparently on closer inspection, they're monstrous and grotesque. Supposedly return to places of pain and suffering. My friend told me a particularly spooky story about a Bogart seen on a street which is now known as Bogart Hill in Leeds. In the evening, a man was walking down the hill and noticed someone following him. He continued walking, but when he looked back, he saw the hunched figure wearing a hooded coat. It had its hand in its pockets, and when the guy peered at its face, he was horrified to find that it was a half-pig, half-man. It suddenly disappeared, leaving a foul smell behind it. A woman saw it on a different occasion. And as she was walking down the hill, she saw something in the distance. She said it reminded her of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. It had a huge, ugly face. It looked at her as though it hated her. It then suddenly made an unearthly noise as if in pain and then disappeared. You guys know of any spirits like this in the USA? Thought I'd share these with you because I find them particularly spooky. Greetings from England.
We've had stories of the Hound of the Baskervilles type.
Mm-hmm.
Hound showing up and meaning different things and subsequent things happening to the listeners. I can't be specific on that right now because I just can't remember, but I know that we've had that. Now, as far as the Hunchback type spirit, I don't know that we've had too many that look like that, so much so that they named a street after it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it shows up quite often.
There was a case of a 17-year-old high school student who was named Scott Howard. He was sick of being average, and he wished that he was special. His father, Harold, ran a local hardware store. Stop me when you know what I'm talking about. I'm reading the Wikipedia entry for Teen Wolf. I was going to keep going, but...
Yeah, that's good.
I thought maybe. There's like three people who were like, wait a second. But I didn't know where this was going. It's a pretty long entry, so that would have been like a good 5 minutes. And like, that's Teen Wolf.
I could see you smiling, so I knew you were up to no good.
Did you ever see Teen Wolf?
Yes, forever ago.
Yeah, I couldn't even recall any of those names or the plot. Kudos to you if you can, though. I'm not one to ever remember names of actors or characters' names or anything like that. Yes. Horrible when someone asks me, what was that movie about? Or even midway through the movie, what happened to so-and-so? I don't know who so-and-so is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's that person with the mustache. That's how I just describe people by physical features.
Well, that's what you do in real life, too.
That is how I do in real life. I have no idea what so many people's names are that I meet. And it's I don't know why. It's just how my brain works.
Or doesn't.
Or doesn't, yes. It's probably more along those lines. But I like to, you know, see the glass as being half full.
Okay.
Kind of. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Sarah writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've shared many stories, but I don't know if you have read them on the air because I'm still trying to catch up on the older episodes. I got to the New Year's Eve episode for 2015, and you were all asking about if you see spirits all the time and if you don't realize it. For me, at least in October, it's difficult sometimes to decipher who's real. I don't know why either. I have three stories that have happened recently and had me doing double takes at times. The 6 months my husband and I were separated because of his job, a woman was shot and killed under my husband's apartment window. A few weeks ago, I was driving home and saw a woman standing in the middle of the street looking like she was in pain. I drove past and had to stop to see what I could do to help, and she disappeared. Not even bloodstains on the ground. I now work at a daycare center, and one night I had to stay late, very late, with a child because a mom was late. The kid and I were standing next to the glass door watching the cars. I caught something in the glass at the corner of my eye. I looked closer and saw a boy standing behind my desk. I looked to make sure the kid I was waiting with was still standing next to me before I turned my head to see if someone was actually standing there. And no one was there. I was startled to say the least, but not scared. I kept it to myself so no one, or so none of the teachers nor the kids, got scared. I'd known he was in the daycare, but to see him was a surprise. The third time was my husband and I driving to go eat. I was in the driver's seat, and I just pulled into the burger place when I see a woman walking straight into the road. Not looking where she was going, just walking straight. I start to swerve when she disappears. My husband noticed my flinch and asked me what happened, and I explained what I'd seen. It's the beginning of October now, so I'm sure I'll see more. If that happens, I'll let you know. Love your show.
I think it has probably something to do with the fact that they say during October, as you approach the Day of the Dead or Halloween, that the veil between the dead and the living gets thinner and thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are prone to seeing spirits anyway, that's why we tend to see more of them that time of the year.
It's like allergy season.
Yes, for spirits.
For spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be interesting if you could like have a count, like a pollen count or a mold count, a spirit count.
Yeah.
Spirits are really high today, and they do it like in the local weather forecast,
mm-hmm.
like they do up in my home state where they're always doing the mold and all that. Like, oh, well, today, and you have like, you know, just spirits and demons.
Okay.
And you do it right after the 7 day. Cloudy on Saturday in 72. Well, if you were noticing a lot of strange things out there today, well, it's because the demon count was really high. But don't worry, tomorrow we're expecting the spirits to be outnumbering the demons in quite a very high number. Sports are next on Action 5 News.
That would be hilarious if somebody did that as a bit.
It's going to happen someday.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words. Peter in Washington, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Peter Milady. I'd called and talked to you guys before. I was the person from Scotland that said something about his grandmother and everything, all that stuff. But anyway, just wanted to say, I was listening to a part of your show and you were talking about the smell of smoke being a sign of the, I guess, paranormal, ghosts and stuff. I know, and I'm not trying to debunk anything or something like that, but I know for a fact that smell of smoke, products that are smoked, say cigarettes, cigars, things like that, pipes, that odor and stuff, if they're smoked in there often, especially in the same place, that odor and smell can be absorbed into the things around it, you know, obviously, you know, anything that's porous, furniture, things like that. Even wallpaper, wood absorbs it a lot of times. So things like that. I just wanted to put that out there. The other thing I was talking about was, I moved from Denver to Washington a few months ago, and I was staying up in Bellingham, and I had to go to Seattle to the VA during the week, and I had to go early. in the morning, so I had to leave earlier, traffic and everything else. So anyway, I decided to drive up there early. I was driving up there on the I-5. Basically, the road goes all the way up the west coast. You could say, well, it does go all the way up the west coast to Canada. I was driving south towards Seattle. Actually, at the beginning of the trip, I had to pull into the, I think it was like the first or the second rest stop that was there. I pulled in there, and I was there wasn't anybody really in there. There was maybe one or two cars, and they have those areas where you can sit and stuff and everything else, and they have some benches and areas for pets sometimes. Anyway, I saw this gentleman, I'll say, fairly well, I mean, not well-dressed, but I mean, not homeless dressed, really. I can't really dress, I'll say. And he had a backpack, and he was just older, I would say possibly in his 60s, maybe. But anyway, he had a backpack, and he sat down, he was sitting at the bench, and I parked, and I walked by him, and he nodded, said, good morning. I said the same thing, he didn't really think much of it, and I just happened to think, oh, make sure I'd taken the keys from the car, and so I did that, and it was not 2 seconds that I'd walked by that person, and he was gone, completely gone. Everything that was there with him was gone. You know, I mean, just gone. I swear, and obviously I can't prove this and anything else. That it was cold, but right there in that little area there, the air seemed to get colder. Even I seemed to get colder for a few seconds, it felt like. And then it went back to normal. It didn't feel bad or evil, but that's how I got with it. But he was gone, you know? Completely gone. I can't explain it. There was nobody else there that saw it, as far as I know. I skipped using the restroom real quick. I got back in my car and drove off and went to the one of the restaurants a couple of miles up the road, and just held it until they got up there, because I didn't feel like using one of the rest stops. So I just wanted to say that. I hope people understood it. Completely gone. I can't explain it. If anybody else can, please, you know, call in, I guess, or something, and try and explain it. Not scary. A little bit scary like that, but not evil scary, I guess, is how I'm trying to describe it. But just very, very, very weird. Very weird. Very weird. But anyway, I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving, like that. And that's it. Love your show. All right. Bye. Thank you.
I know what he saw.
I think I do too.
A ghost.
I'm pretty sure. And I'm not making fun of him. It's so difficult to wrap your mind around.
Sure.
That, you know, when it's somebody that's so there and so as real as you and me sitting here across from each other, and then 2 seconds later they're gone, and there is absolutely no place they could have gone.
You could still hear like the disbelief in his voice.
Yes.
You know, he was still kind of reasoning that out.
Mm-hmm.
Like how, why would, and I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I think it'd be more disturbing to run into a situation where you see the ghost and it is as real as you and me. It's not like across the way, you see the object kind of hovering, or mm-hmm. there's something that distinctly makes you know, that's not a person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Then your mind's like immediately kind of like, okay, it's establishing it almost immediately that that's not right. But to sit there and be able to conversate a bit or to interact and have no inkling that this thing is a ghost, and then it's not there, mm-hmm. you know, and that was a ghost, that's harder because there's more things going on. It's like, well, no, we've already established this was a person.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this not a person now? You know, and that's your brain going, what? No, 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 not firing, right? This is not working, right?
It's like the paranormal world got one over on you.
Yeah.
And it's just very difficult to be like,
sure.
You know, it's like he almost still doesn't believe that was a ghost.
Then you start questioning yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did I actually see somebody here? Is there something wrong with me that I'm, am I seeing something?
Sure.
You know, so I don't blame him for being so kind of just, you know, what word am I looking for?
I think he's still in disbelief.
Yeah, I don't blame that at all. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, Brewski family. Just giving you guys a call. I've been listening to your show for quite a while and started listening because of Halloween. Started listening to it and dealing with debating if I'm going to share my story or not, and throughout getting back into being interested in some ghost stories and listening to some creepy pasta. I actually mustered up the courage to make the phone call to you guys here. I've dealt with a lot of things over time, and I was just listening to one of your episodes where you had said that some people lose that ability over time to pay attention to the ghosts and stuff. And I actually can turn it on and off. With a lot of focus to turn it off. One of the stories that I wanted to share was when I was a young child. We lived in this house, and there was a lot of mold issues and everything in it. And I remember my dad actually had dealt with an imaginary friend that I had, and that story I might share some other time. But we were playing around in this house, and me and my brother were playing hide-and-seek. They had a babysitter over, and I went into this attic portion of my mother, and obviously it wasn't safe, told me never to go into, but I thought, hell, if I just hide around the door and sit on the stairs that were right on the other side of the door, that I'd be perfectly fine, or at least I wasn't in the attic, you know, being a young child and wanted to strict the rules. And I was around six. This is how much of an impact it played on me, that I remember it to you know, more than two decades later. But yeah, and I went up the stairs because I heard someone up there, and I had gotten locked in the attic, and nobody could hear me. I could hear my babysitter on the other side. I could hear my brother. Open up the door, he didn't see me, so he just, you know, continued on. I was sitting on the other side of the door. I don't know if there was something demonic causing him not to see me or what it was. But then I went up the stairs, and there were these creatures, and my imaginary friend, I remember very vividly being one of those creatures that was that were sitting there on weird chairs, and one made out of wood, and a bunch of little clay ones, and this one that was made out of like a tree stump, and they were all talking in this garbled, weird language, and there was this porthole type looking thing that just kept spinning and spinning and spinning, and I remember something that to this day I think felt like an angel that said, "Don't let them see you." And so I hid behind this. Wow, that gave me chills. I don't tell people this story ever. My mother knows about it, and that's about it. Just saying that portion, I've never even told my mom. Like, it just made me have the most horrendous chills. But one of them looked over by me, and I had hidden behind this little wooden wall that was there, and they all stopped for a moment, and I felt like something was wanting to come after me. And so I just kind of went down the stairs and banged on the door, and I remember blacking out, and eventually my mother came, and she was looking for me, saying, where is he, where'd he go, and the babysitter hadn't even noticed that I had disappeared, and my mother and I was, and I kind of come out of the cave, and that's all that I remembered with it. So I wanted to keep the story short. I can't be an EPP, so I figured I'd at least share a story. And I might give a call back in a day or two and share another one that I have with you. So thank you guys very much for your show. It's nice to hear some stories that are kind of similar to mine. I still have the issues with it, and hopefully I don't have to deal with them tonight when I go to sleep. A lot of the times I feel like that sleep paralysis thing, but I feel this creature. I think they're demons. That's what I think ghosts are. I think they're demons. I don't think they're somebody in the background. And while they may cause a pleasant feeling, it's to emphasize some form of existence to keep you interested. So that's my opinion on it, and it may change over time, but in my opinion, for a long time. But this one always, it feels like it's choking me, and I can recognize that presence over time.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I would say, listen to the show a little bit more, and I think your opinion may change on the last statement there, but I would certainly not fault you where you, if you've, your main experience in your life has been something negative, that you're going to be a little bit predispositioned to feeling that the ghost and spirit world is not all that welcoming.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. For part of the story, I was almost thinking, carbon monoxide, because he was up in the attic, mm-hmm. and there was like a spinning portal.
Sure.
And things like that. But it sounds like there's much, much more than just that experience going on. So I would say keep listening and see if you have other stories that come about that are very similar.
Sure.
Because over time, like Tony said, your opinion will probably change. Ours changes all the time.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Do you have anything else? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay. All right, let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. So I have a couple paranormal experiences, but this one kind of happened recently, and I figured it was worth telling. So my cousin and I are kind of urban explorers. So people who don't know what that is, it's basically people who go around to like abandoned places and just go take pictures and film and, just look at the raw beauty of the place. So anyway, we don't really go out of our way to do this, but if there's a place locally that we can get to, then we go do it. There's one place in particular that is a abandoned street, and there's still houses on it, but all the houses are abandoned and it's all overgrown, and you have to kind of go through a lot just to go see them. You have to go through like a walking trail, and you have to go through woods, and a lot of people don't even know it's there. It's like far out in the woods where no one can see. So we go there, we've been there a couple times, and everything's kind of cool back there, but there's one house in particular that is just kind of off-putting, and I'm a little bit sensitive to paranormal things, so I don't know if it's only me that feels it, but it's just this one house towards the end that's just, kind of creepy. And so the time in particular I'm talking about, it was my cousin, my boyfriend, and I, and we had gone to see other houses, and we were coming up on this house, and we're sitting out front, basically talking, just goofing off before we go in. And I looked over at the house, and I'm not really sure if it was a reflection or something, because you can't see car lights back there at all. We didn't have a flashlight on, but I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm skeptical about it, and I'm willing to accept other explanations because it did freak me out. So I look over at the front of the house, and there's not really a porch. There's just kind of two steps in the door. And I look over, and I see a man sitting on the two steps, and he had his head in his hands, and he looked up at me. And as soon as he looked up at me, I had this such intense emotion of anger and then guilt. And it was very weird because I was obviously, like, joking around, having fun, not even seconds before. And then he just vanished. And he wasn't very solid, so that's why I'm, you know, kind of considering him as a ghost. But it was just very, very shocking, to say the least. And I didn't say anything to my cousin or my boyfriend. I didn't want to freak them out. But I think they kind of saw my face, and they kind of knew something was up. But anyway, we go into the house, whatever, it's fine. And we go upstairs, and the one bedroom door is open a little bit. So it was kind of odd, but we saw bed sheets, and we figured, oh, it might be a homeless person. So we made sure that our presence was known, and we asked to see if anyone was around, and no one was, absolutely no one was in the house. So we opened the door, and there's bed sheets, and there's beer bottles and condoms laying everywhere. So obviously, you know what happened, but it was kind of weird because the bed sheets were like, not little girls, but a younger teen. They're like pink and green circles with stripes, something that I actually had when I was younger. And it was just kind of out of place with all the beer and the condoms. So we didn't really think much of it then, but, you know, as we were leaving and we were talking, we kind of thought maybe something bad happened in the house, and that's why I saw this person and felt that emotion. Like, maybe he got very angry and did something he regretted, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that's basically the story for that. Figured you guys would like to hear it. Love the show. Thanks.
You know, I think when you see somebody, whether they're really there or not, and you get a bad feeling, it's just an instinctual thing that you know that there's something going on that that you just can't put your finger on.
Sure.
You just know.
I get that feeling with living people.
Yes, you can.
You know, so again, I think we're, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier, where you get this, that there's a feeling people have, an aura about them, and it's good or it's bad, it's somewhat neutral. You know, if I think your aura, your feeling that you give off, stays pretty much the same in death if you're still hanging around.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think that's what she was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good story. Thank you for sharing that. Let's do one more call here today. Hi.
I was calling in to share a story with you. I've called in a couple of times, actually. I'm doing major catch-up since your last year episodes, and I'm now caught up to about January of 2015. And you were talking about one, about a girl who, her family was very noisy, and you guys brought up, I wonder how many times this actually happens in noisy households or public places where there's a ghost and we don't notice because the place is so busy and there's just so much activity. So I wanted to share something that I thought of that I haven't, gosh, I probably haven't thought of this in years. Growing up, my brother and I, we were very, very close to our grandparents, and we would spend probably, gosh, a good part of our weekends at my grandparents' house. And they were very religious. We went to church every Sunday, and we were driving to church, and I must have been maybe probably 5 or 6 years old, and I remember we were sitting at a light to turn to go toward church, and there was a fire department on the on this particular corner, and I was sitting in the car, and I stared out the window, and I saw a man. He was a tall man, and he had on, he looked like he was going to go to church too, only maybe in 1910 or 1905 or something like that. He was tall, had a suit on, and he had a top hat on. and I was staring at him, and he was staring at me, and he tipped his hat to me, and I waved back at him, and I turned to poke my brother and say, "Hey, look at that guy." And my brother didn't see anything, and he told me I was crazy and made fun of me. And I looked, and the guy is still there. And there was nothing odd about him except his clothes. He didn't look spooky, or I could see through him, or there was flames coming out of his eyes. There was nothing odd. He looked like a regular guy, just dressed a little differently. So I thought I'd share that with you. And I do believe that I see things that aren't there. I try to always be skeptical about it, but I know there's things that are out there that we can't explain. Who are we to try to explain things away with our simple human minds? So that is just a story that I thought of that I really have not thought of in years, and I thought I would share that. Thank you. I love your show so much. You help me pass the time cleaning house and working and driving. I love you guys so much. Thanks. Bye.
It's interesting. We've had a lot of calls today from people who are kind of talking about the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where they're seeing what they think is a real human being, and either others around them can't see it, or it's later on that they realize that that was not, in fact, something real, which we just talked about.
And I know that kind of an explanation sounds like what we talk about every day, mm-hmm. but these are people that are appearing as real as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's interesting to have so many of those all at once, because you're not seeing shadow people or something that's translucent. You're seeing an actual
sure.
full person.
Yeah, that's how our show goes.
It is.
It always has. There's always been kind of these themes that develop on an episode that we do not put together. It's just whatever comes in that we're playing back, especially with the calls. It's interesting how that all comes about.
It's whatever we're meant to talk about yeah. that day.
It's interesting how it themes itself, but there you go. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. If you like the show, like I said, please help us keep this thing on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. $5 a month is all it is. Or you can sign up for a full year and get 1 month free. So a couple ways to do that and help keep this thing on the air. So thank you very much. We are funded by you guys, and we greatly appreciate you allowing us to do this show. So check that out and keep the thing going. Maybe even give a EPP membership to the ghost lover in your life.
That'd be a good Christmas gift.
Yeah, that would be a good gift right there. Huh? Creative? Huh? Anyway, check it out. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.